What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. Man, this episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. You can probably guess what ButcherBox is. It's a box from the butcher. ButcherBox is a meat delivery subscription that gives me time for what matters most, cooking and eating meat and not shopping for it. That's right. Every month they send a box of the highest quality meat for better prices than the grocery store, which gives you more time to spend cooking and sharing delicious meals with family and friends and less time at the store. See, every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high-quality meat right to my house. All the meat is free of antibiotics and added hormones, and every single box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual meals. This month, I've got ribeyes, I've got rib tips, I've got filet mignons, I've got some ground beef, I got chicken, and I got some salmon. It's all going down this month. The end of January and February is going to be fire. And they have their own box set up if you want to choose one of theirs, or you can customize it however you want. I got a special deal for you right now. Here you go. You get 2 pounds of salmon absolutely free, plus $20 off your first box if you go to butcherbox.com/tire. That's T-I-R-E, or use promo code tire at checkout. butcherbox.com/tire or code tire at checkout, and that will get you 2 pounds of salmon free, plus $20 off your first box. These meats are delicious, folks. I've had them before, so this is not my first go-around. I know these things are tasty, and I'm going to start making these things on the daily, so watch my Instagram. butcherbox.com/tire. Delicious meats, folks. They come to you. Also, how about Crown and Caliber? We've been with Crown and Caliber for almost 3 years now, and really, guys, they are the best place to buy a secondhand luxury watch on the internet, whether it's Rolex, Omega, Patek, AP, you pick your brand, Breitling, Cartier, Crown and Caliber's got them, except Grand Seiko. They don't carry Grand Seiko. That's a separate deal. But if you are looking to buy a watch, or let's say I've gotten a couple emails recently from folks that have been like, you know, I inherited a watch from my grandfather. I got a watch as a gift. It's not really for me. Maybe I want to sell it or trade it. Crown and Caliber will trade for your watch. They will also just straight up buy your watch. Or if you are interested in maybe a brand new Breitling and have an older watch, they've got a special deal going where you can trade in your old watch to Crown and Caliber for credit towards a brand new Breitling from their online store. It's a pretty cool setup. They have a bunch of watchmakers and technicians on staff to make sure that the watch you receive is the watch you expect to receive. Their photos on the website are legitimate. It's not just legitimate. They're the actual photos of the watch you're going to be receiving. And all watches come with a limited mechanical warranty so that if it shows up and it doesn't work the way it's supposed to, even if it's a vintage watch, they will handle that. If you go to crownandcaliber.com/TST, that's crownandcaliber.com/TST, you can enter to win a Rolex Submariner. The Sub is a classy watch you get once, you wear it for life. It's great. crownandcaliber.com/TST. Enter to win that Rolex Submariner, and they're the only place you want to go for a secondhand luxury watch on the internet. All right, folks, on this episode of the podcast, we have my surgeon who did the back surgeries I talk about so often. Dr. Robert Watkins III is in studio today. We're going to be talking about your spine, driving, and how to take care of the former while doing lots of the latter.
What's up, everybody? Smoking Tire Podcast. Happy Wednesday? Wednesday. I don't even know what day it is anymore. All I know is it was Lamborghini Exercise Day, and that means it's a good day. We're going to take in a hard left, a soft left, if you will, out of cars today because I have invited Dr. Robert Watkins IV, the fourth.
Yes, sir.
But colloquially junior.
Correct.
Because like I'm guessing one and two no longer with us.
Correct.
Okay.
And people can't remember 3, 4, 5, and so we just go by junior and senior because I work with my dad.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier that way.
But it's like a dynasty.
Yeah, we're working on it, man.
And I invited you not only because you did my back surgery in 2011, yeah. and I'm still here and pain-free 8 years later, which is good.
Love it.
Not without some effort,
yes.
but also because, Jesus, I'm really loud, I'm sorry. And also because you work on a ton of athletes, Olympians, Cirque du Soleil people. Like, your office is ridiculously wallpapered with signed images from people.
Yeah.
I pulled up the stats, which is on your website.
Yeah.
173 football players, 21 Super Bowl champions, yada yada, 43 basketball players, 8 of them NBA All-Stars, 112 baseball players, 2 of them are World Series MVPs, 60 hockey players, 8 Stanley Cup champions, 7 All-Stars, and then a 12 Olympic gold medal winners, 14 civil medal.
And that was all me. I won all those Olympic medals.
Yes, but like, you fix people when that shit's on the line.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a pretty big, strong stats list for a young man like yourself.
Right. Well, I have to.
Is that split with your dad?
Yes.
That's split with your dad, right?
So I'll tell you a little background.
But how many buckets are yours on the board?
The solid amount. So I've been in practice with my dad for 16 years now, and we operate together every Tuesday and Thursday. So all the surgeries on any athlete in the past 16 years, we do together.
Wow.
So we work under a microscope so that two surgeons can do the surgery at the same time, and we don't bump heads because the microscope allows you both to see.
Robots at this point, or are you still hand?
It's hands. It's our hands. We do the work. We got to keep ourselves functional and useful. We can't have the robot completely replace us.
Yeah, and I wanted to have you here because you are an expert in this, and because I had back problems as a result of driving.
Yeah,
lots of driving.
Yeah,
highly variable comfort cars.
Right.
Some big, some small, but either way, a lot of driving.
Right.
And some of it could obviously be attributed to my lifestyle and being overweight and blah, blah, blah. But my producer, Zach, who's not here today, he normally sits in this chair, is the fittest dude ever.
Yeah.
He's brown rice and vegetables and plain-ass chicken kind of guy.
Right.
He drives as much as I do.
Yeah.
He's having the same problem now.
Yes.
So it's the driving. It's all the driving is the common thread.
Right. Well, the common thread is you're both humans.
Well, okay.
And humans get back problems.
Yeah.
But that being said, size has never been shown to make a difference. Skinny people, fat people.
I didn't come here just to defend my fatness.
Yeah. Exactly.
You
look beautiful to me.
Not defending it. No, 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 no.
Nothing wrong with being a large mammal.
But it's, why do our backs get so destroyed? Because your bad back can just wreck your life.
All right, so two things. Number one is the discs and the joints start deteriorating around age 28.
Okay.
So athletes peak around age 28. By the time they're late 30s and 40s, they're washed up. So human life expectancy used to be 50 years old. 150 years ago, we died at age 50.
So evolution hasn't caught the NFL yet.
That's correct. That's correct. So the back starts falling apart around age 28, but if we died at 50, it'd be fine. We're so smart that we take care of our heart and our lungs, and we eat brown rice and vegetables, and we're so healthy, and we don't smoke two packs a day, that we live till we're 90. So, because our heart and our lungs are healthy. The problem is our back is still falling apart at 28.
Uh-huh.
And
it
so
just doesn't
everybody
get, it doesn't
has back
get
pain.
The equivalent, it's like if we thought about, like Joe Rogan said, the rest of the ocean the way we thought about sea turtles.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We'd be in better shape.
Exactly.
So, okay.
That's
so,
part of it.
Yeah, what's the other part?
But another part of it is we don't have a solution for wear and tear of the discs. Stem cell injections, HGH, supplements you take by mouth, nothing has been shown to help discs stay alive and regenerate and not get dehydrated and degenerated.
Not even stem cells?
No.
Huh.
At this point, stem cells are a complete crapshoot. They're
really?
Correct. No stem cell product has been shown to regenerate disc material and make it healthy again. Not yet.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, exactly.
It works for other stuff, right?
It's still borderline. I mean, in orthopedics, so I do spines, backs and necks. But if you're talking about knees and hips and other joints, even as of today, stem cells are borderline really helping other conditions.
Okay. All right. So
despite
if we can't help
internet,
our discs,
yeah, yeah.
Our discs are a one-way street down. Pretty much,
correct.
Right?
Right.
Correct. A slow decline no matter what.
Yeah, that's job insurance for me. People always need me at some point.
Right. So, like, if you like to drive or you have to drive.
Yes.
What can you do? What should you do?
So the best thing we can do, and all we really can do, is work on the muscles, is get the muscle strong to keep stress off the discs to help decrease pain, because it decreases stress on the disc. Now, that doesn't regenerate the disc or preserve the health of the disc or stop arthritis and aging, but it can decrease the pain. Mm. Because if you keep the stress off the disc, it doesn't hurt as much. So all we have is the muscles. You can't heal the disc, but you can work on the muscles and get them strong.
So preemptively, it's like get a six pack, like do your abs, your core.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Yeah. All the yoga, all the Pilates.
Yep. Get your core strong.
Yeah.
And that's like 80% of it, is get your core strong. Mm-hmm. And no matter how you do that, if you like Pilates, yoga, something's more entertaining, do that. But the bottom line is do something. We actually have an app that we created called Back Doctor.
Free app. Is it on your website? Can I find app. There it is. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. The Back Doctor. So my dad and I, one of the things that's so genius about my dad, my dad is the first spine surgeon who started treating athletes for back problems 35, 40 years ago. He was part of Curl and Job Orthopedic Clinic. Frank Job, Bob Curlin started sports medicine. Hmm. Frank Job is the guy who reconstructed Tommy John's elbow.
Oh, yeah.
He did the Tommy John surgery, invented the thing. So he's one of the pioneers and godfathers of operating on human beings so that they can play a sport. When he did
that's got to be a relatively new thing in human history. They just let the gladiators die.
Yeah, exactly.
They just let them get eaten. I guess you break your leg, they just stab them and feed them to lions or whatever. Yeah.
So operating on a human being to play a sport 40 years ago was borderline inhumane, unethical treatment that other doctors objected to, because the purpose of surgery was to save lives.
Oh, and only to save lives.
That's correct. Not to play a sport.
How did they feel about plastic surgery? I'm serious. In that case, same thing, right?
Same thing. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Unless, somebody's deformed and so you're facial reconstruction so they look normal.
Yeah.
But no, a little enhancement surgery?
Yeah.
No, that was unethical when it first came out.
I had a doctor that threw in some cosmetic surgery. I got a deviated septum fixed when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like really flamboyant. He's like, while we're in there.
Yeah, right.
And my mother was like, take it, Matt.
Touch it up. Yeah.
My Jewish mother's like, don't turn down this for free.
Right.
I'm like, I feel weird. She's like, you'll thank me later.
Yeah, nice. It looks good. It looks nice. Well done.
I can't find in the timeline where it actually happened. He must have been nice and slick about
right.
it.
Totally.
So if sports medicine or sports surgeries, right, where do they draw the line? What if the athlete got hurt and you had to fix him so he could, or her, so they could live the rest, I guess it was just him, so if you could live the rest of their life,
right,
but not necessarily to play the sport again, was that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
And today, we still deal with that issue. So when I talk to an athlete about whether they should have surgery or not, we talk about, should you retire, not have surgery, retire, never play again, and go back to your life? You're only 25, 30 years old. You're still going to live for 60 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Should you just retire and not have surgery? Should you have surgery in order to play the sport? What's the risk in doing that? What's the chance you may have another issue? Mm-hmm. And is it worth doing it? And so we have that talk all the time with because every person who comes to me doesn't want to have surgery. They're scared.
Nobody wants to have a surgery.
Nobody wants to have spine surgery.
I had the same surgery twice. I went through the same stupid bullshit both times where I should have just done it right away instead of 6 months of, I'm scared. The PT might start working. Like,
right.
Fuck that. Do it right away.
Exactly.
You wake up from the surgery, you go, oh.
Right.
Oh, well, that is just delightful to not have searing nerve pain.
Right, which you fell into the 90%, 85, 90% that wake up and feel great.
Oh,
but there's about 10% who don't get a lot of relief. The chance
after surgery?
That's correct.
Oh, that'd be a bummer.
And there's always a chance you could be worse.
No way.
Less than 5%, it's realistically maybe 2%, that you could be worse with surgery, and that's why we don't operate on everybody.
Yeah,
that's why we give it a couple months to see if it'll get better on its own.
Oh, that would be such a bummer, having surgery and having it be worse.
I mean, that's what keeps me up at night. That's what weighs on me for the rest of my life, is I've got patients that I know and care about that are still in pain, and we can't always fix
sucks.
People.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It requires, even after surgery, the maintenance is ongoing. I mean, it really is ongoing, especially, I mean, not to make this about me, but like, it's for someone like me who's a bigger person and who continues to do I mean, you told me when you told me in 2011, like, you know, if you keep doing this job at the level you're doing you might end up back here without a lot of work.
Right.
And I decided I wasn't going to end up back here, and I put in the work, and it's working out.
Yeah.
Okay, but I still am in PT every single week.
Nice.
For a variety of things.
That's what it takes.
And it's nothing. Forever is so fucking long.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the world. Yeah. Welcome to being past the age of 40.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 47. When I turned 40, I started having some neck issues and shoulder issues. I've dislocated my shoulder snowboarding, had shoulder surgery, hurt my neck trying to do triathlons and surfing and stuff like that. And it was a revelation that we know what you can do to live your life and not have pain, but it takes work. You got to set up your lifestyle. How are you going to get some cardiovascular exercise in 3 to 5 days a week? When are you going to do your core exercises? Get proper sleep. Meditate 3 to 5 times a week. So some form of relaxation. Eat healthy. Eat some type of paleo diet or whatever it takes.
I bet it takes work. I bet any one of those things to a lot of people sounds terrible. Even just individually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One of those things. And I've done a few of those. I've done a couple on the list. I feel okay, but like that's it. So intimidating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like you need to change your lifestyle right now forever. How about, here's a question.
Right. But you know what? Let me say one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's also empowering. I mean, to me, you can just live your life and do whatever you want to do and hope that you don't end up in agony. But the reality is, if you want to live past the age of 40 and 50 and not end up in pain, well, it takes work. And at least we know what to do.
Yeah.
So I do all that stuff. And
is
maybe
that what the app is about?
The app's got it all on there. So the app actually is free. We've had 50,000 downloads of it, and we give it away for free. It's got our whole rehab program on it. The same one we treat all the athletes with is right on it. We've got a relaxation download that we recorded with some Scottish guys in Edinburgh. This great Scottish voice to put you to sleep. And it's been great. I mean, and I've had the one of the funnest parts about it is that the stories I get from people I've never even met. People send me an email and say, I used your app. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. It's really cool.
That's nice.
And the power of the technology is awesome. It's like the podcast. I got my podcast station. I record these podcasts of what you can do to avoid surgery, and people listen to them. I don't even know them. And they listen to them. They use the app. It helps them. And the power of the technology is awesome. But it also helps us manage the athletes. So we operate on guys from all over the country and girls. But, you know, we take care of every team from all over the country and every sport. How do we manage their rehab after the surgery? We give them the app and we tell them you got to go through this structured program, and when you've reached a level 2 or a level 3, that's when you can pitch, that's when you can throw, that's when you can lift weights, and it's our way to guide people back to their sport.
Go back to your stats. What sport produces the most injuries? NFL?
Football,
NFL by a lot.
Yeah, and I'm on the sideline for the Rams games. I'm the spine guy for the Rams. So between my dad and I, my dad is on the Rams is on the sideline for the USC football games.
Uh-huh.
He goes down there twice a month, sees every student athlete with back problems, every sport, crew, volleyball, any USC athlete that gets hurt with their back, he sees them twice a month, is on the sideline. He also does the LA Kings and then I do the Rams. I'm on the sideline for the Rams. Gives the Dodgers. I go down there about once a homestand, check on guys. We do the Clippers and the Lakers, the LAFC, the Galaxy.
Wow.
So we do every sport. But football is the number one, and then baseball.
I'm surprised that baseball over hockey, actually. Visually, I would expect hockey to be, just as a fan, more violent. But baseball's second to football in injured players here.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because hockey is a brutal sport. But you know what? You know what I think part of it is? Hockey players are so freaking tough. They don't even want to talk about it.
Oh.
So they probably have more injuries. They just don't
go there.
Yeah, I do. If you want to have good results as a spine surgeon, operate on hockey players, because they all go back to play.
That's so funny.
And if you ask how you're doing, they all say, I'm good, doc. Can
That's
I play?
Hilarious.
Can I skate? Can I go back? And baseball players, it's such a grueling season. And taking care of the Dodgers and a lot of baseball players from all over the country, I've really gotten to appreciate what a physical and mental, demanding, grueling, emotional sport it is.
Yeah.
It's every night. Those guys play every night.
One game doesn't seem like a big deal, but like 160 games is
exactly
a lot of games.
It's a
man.
Grind. It
That's
really is.
A lot of games.
And so you can imagine, like, you've tweaked your back, right? Like you've been over to brush your teeth and your back kind of twinges and it hurts for a couple days. Well, they got to play. Yeah. They got to play that night, period. And the rotation involved in either throwing or
pitching,
hitting.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine hitting. They coil up and then just spring with this explosiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of stress on the discs in your back.
You know what I don't see on your roster? I don't see a lot of racing drivers here.
No, you know, not for a while. I should have gone through our history to have some. But I remember back in the day, Kenny Bernstein.
Oh yeah,
he
drag
was top
racer,
drag racer. Yeah, he was awesome. We went out to one of his events, and you know, all the fumes burn in your eyes. I was probably like 10 years old.
Love to smell race gas in the morning.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Nitro meth is some gnarly stuff.
It is gnarly.
If you're there all day, I mean, eyes are on fire. The guys who work on those cars, they wear like goggles and stuff around them.
And the reason what happened to him is he hurt his neck, and a lot of the guys will hurt their neck because you can't rest your head on the pad because then it jiggles. So you you got to hold your neck steady so that you see the road and the strain that puts on your neck.
And a dragster is extraordinary.
Exactly.
I mean, I would think actually if you probably went back and looked at the records, I would say that if you went back to when your dad was really starting, there was probably a lot more. I mean, people get a lot less hurt in race cars now. The harnesses and the seats and the gear is all a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really with Hans devices. They're not really like breaking necks so much anymore.
That makes sense. Right.
But you know, racing drivers are different from what concerns me is like guys who like are, it's like 30,000 miles a year.
Right.
You know, in their cars. That kind of stuff is, I think is really like, because people I think don't stop and take rest as much as they should. It's like every hour that seems so annoying, but like.
Right. So I'll tell you two things that I know. One is if you're in a car that vibrates, like a truck that has this vibration to it on a consistent basis, that has been seen with an increased incidence of injuring the disc and people having disc problems from this constant vibration.
That's hilarious.
The disc.
You want to hear something funny? Yeah. Someone asked as a joke about old Volkswagens and if you were more likely to have a back injury because of the vibrations of an old Volkswagen.
Right.
Answer, yes, maybe.
That's true.
How interesting.
It depends on what you're doing in the VW, but in the bus. But in general, that vibration of the can definitely has been seen to increase incidence. The other thing is when you sit, you increase stress in the disc. So when you
you're pressing on it in one side.
Exactly. And the pressure in the disc increases. We call it intradiscal pressure, and it increases when you sit. So if you have back issues like a herniated disc or an injured disc, it usually hurts the worst driving because you're sitting, you're loading the disc, and you can't adjust to really take the pressure off it. If you're sitting around the house, you can shift. You can put your weight on one side and move around. If you're in a car, you're relatively stuck. And so riding in a car usually hurts the worst if you have back problems already.
Yeah. One of the things I've found that I'm like really hypersensitive to compared to people who have not had disc problems is if I drive an older car or a used car, you find that the left side, the driver's, the thigh side of the is often just a little bit lower than the right. Except in brand new cars. Brand new seats are fine. But like just from getting in and out over a period of however long. And if you buy a used car or if I get into a car that's older, other people don't notice it.
Right, sure.
They'll even sometimes comment on how comfortable the seat is.
Right.
And I'll be like, the left side is 3 millimeters lower than the right side. Totally. And I can't think about anything else.
Right.
You know, you get that hypersensitivity to seats. Like, is there any, like, solutions that you found, like that someone could buy, like the really good back pillows or anything like that, that are good to fix that?
Yeah, the hardest part about that is it's so user dependent. It depends on the person, and it's trial and error. And you know, go Relax the Back store is a great store.
Yeah.
If you could only see what their refund policy is, get something, use it for a week. If it doesn't help, you know, exchange it, which they probably have.
I'm sure they do.
Right.
Yeah, it's got
Because quite frankly, I mean, some people it's firmer, some people it's softer. It's so variable that it's kind of like mattresses. People ask me all the time about mattresses and pillows. It's so user dependent that there is no one thing. It's really trial and error. I think one of the biggest things I've learned is that you got to be resourceful and creative and be willing to try different things to see what works for you. And whether that's your exercise, whether that's your core exercise, whether that's a mattress and a pillow, people kind of get stuck in a rut and they need to branch out and need to try different things and see what works for them.
I think it's hard because it is so like individual dependent, but I've just found it to be like a really consistent thing that if like, man, if that seat is like worn in by a different person, yeah. it's so hard. Right. And that's a bummer because like, you know, us people who listen to this show,
yeah.
we like old cars,
yeah.
you know, we like classic cars, and there's almost, yeah. it's almost unavoidable unless you just go out and buy, you know, brand new seats.
Right.
And
that's
even,
true.
And even then, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You could do that. I used to have a 67 Pontiac Grand Prix convertible. Nice. It's a beautiful car. I went to school at Vanderbilt in Nashville, and I got the car out there and drove it back, and I had it until I was doing residency at USC and living in Santa Monica, and I had to have a reliable car. So I had to get a Honda Accord, obviously, so yeah. that it would start every time,
yeah.
and I had both. But then my current wife, as we were dating back then, once a week she'd have to move that car, you know, because of the street cleaners, and it wouldn't start half the time. And so eventually, I finally had to get rid of it.
Oh.
I had to get rid of it because she refused to jump the car.
You need a place like I've got. I got a collector car storage facility we're building here. You never have to worry about that problem ever again.
It was a beautiful car.
Other than that, are you into cars in the sort of modern sense or
not too much? I mean, it was like that car had so much style and class. It had such a great feeling to it that it's almost like there's no going back from that. Now it's just like cars serve a purpose for me.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
It's just another egg to get you to surgery.
Unless I'm going to have a convertible where I can really put the top down and feel the full effect.
You're a surgeon. You should be driving. Why aren't you driving up in a 911 or something? I feel like
I drive a Lincoln, man. I got stinking
Lincoln.
You pulled
up to the lot, and I was like, oh, he took an Uber here. Oh, shit. Oh, gee. Yeah,
you know,
it's okay. Lincolns are fine.
Yeah, exactly. I switched my mindset. You know, once I went with that Honda and got rid of the nice car, I was like, you know what? I just want something practical. Get me to A and B and screw it. I'm
going
to spend my money on a trip to Hawaii instead.
Fair. Totally fair.
Yeah.
Have you recommended specific cars to people before for that have had back problems and they go, what can I drive?
No, I mean, the biggest complaint I hear from people is their sports car. You know, it's like, if I got to hear from one more guy who's like, I can't get in my sports car because it's too low and it hurts my back, you know,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, talk about first world problems. But that's the biggest complaint.
Hey, man, they have a solution to that. It's called the Porsche Macan.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Get yourself a crossover.
Yep.
That's what my parents are all, you know, my parents, you know, they used to like drive sedans, you
yeah.
know, it was never a problem.
Right.
Like my dad has had a couple sports cars, never a problem.
Yeah.
Now they're in their 60s, you know, yeah. my mom's, you know, 70, and they just can't be bothered with having to lower their
yeah.
bum
right
an inch
right. And the car that I drive, I like because it's a little bit above traffic, so I can see.
Tall.
You know.
Everyone likes that, seeing over traffic. Except, guess what? Now, everyone's the same height again.
That's true.
So you just have to, it's an endless.
That's true. And I'm just going to follow Waze and go wherever it tells me to go anyway.
It's like widening the lanes. It's an infinite.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep widening them and people just fill them.
And I'll tell you one other thing for me. I'm actually a really aggressive driver. And I follow Waze and I go. You
uh-huh.
know, whatever. I grew up in L.A. It's like I don't hesitate and I drive. And if I had, I've driven a Porsche a couple times. If I had a Porsche, I would be freaking a maniac. I would be hitting holes that I have no business hitting.
As long as you know that. If you know
right.
that you would do that and
right.
you take steps to avoid unleashing that Hulk
yeah.
on the rest of us,
exactly.
that's cool. Like, I totally get that. That's
right.
fine. Put yourself in a slow car.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's like having self-control at the grocery store instead
yeah.
of having to have self-control in your pantry at home later.
Exactly.
You know, I get that. That's
exactly.
fine. You know what? Here's what you should never try.
Yeah.
The Porsche Taycan, the mm-hmm. electric Porsche.
Oh, yeah?
If you cannot...
Yeah.
If you don't want to be enabled
right,
to
right.
be aggressive in that way,
yeah.
you should not be
yeah.
anywhere near such a thing.
Because there's no hesitation. It's just
because
straight.
It's so insanely fast
yeah.
combined with being silent.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so when you remove the noise,
yeah.
it allows you to be doubly aggressive
yeah, right.
because it cuts your offensiveness down by half.
Yeah, right. You don't even feel it. You're just
yeah.
like, I want to go there, and you go.
Yeah. yeah. Like Tesla drivers or the
right.
new BMW drivers
right.
because a Tesla is the perfect car if you want to drive a complete dick bag.
Right.
Because it's less offensive when you make that dive bomb
right.
and you're not going blah, 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 blah,
right.
while doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what
true,
I mean?
True. Mental note.
We have a couple questions from
yeah.
people about
right,
spine, so we'll get back to spine stuff. John O. Twist wants to know, do you recommend any stretches that can ease lower back stiffness from carrying my team because of their lackluster performance. Nice. Fair. Good stretches at home, though,
Yeah, basically what I do is when I do my cardio, so I try and do cardio for 3 to 5 days a week, at least 3 days a week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I wake up, that's what I do.
You do elliptical? What's
I
your
do
move?
Elliptical, I do or a treadmill. Mm-hmm. I'll run on a treadmill for 30 minutes.
We bought an elliptical, and it's amazing.
It is.
We got
awesome.
An arc trainer, Cybex arc trainer. It's so badass. Yeah. I love it.
They're great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I just did recently is, like 3 days ago, I bought a trampoline, one of those little trampolines. I put on some headphones, Pandora. I listened to Deadmau5, some house music.
Like a mini guy? Like a 3 foot guy?
Yep. Okay. And I put on a YouTube video of a bunch of women jumping on a trampoline, and I did whatever they did. I got the best workout I've had in a long time.
You have to be careful
minutes.
Googling those terms, though. You can end up in some places.
Exactly. What was that show? It was Adam
it was
Carolla,
the man
wasn't
show.
It? Yeah, the man show. Yeah, exactly. This was a workout.
I bet you're drenched in sweat. Jumping on
awesome.
Trampolines is
awesome.
Really, really...
It was fun. Yeah. I had the best time. It was great. So that was my first one. I just like 3 days. I got a great workout. But the point is low impact, good cardio. So the purpose of exercise is to get your heart rate up, break a sweat, release endorphins, feel better, get your energy up. It's not to lose weight. Once you turn 40, if you try and exercise to lose weight, if you try and eat pizza and drink beer and exercise twice as hard to lose weight, you'll hurt yourself with your exercise.
So, raising my hand over here.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done that.
Me too.
I've now done that twice.
Me too. That's how I learned it. And so I realized that you got to cut your carbs. If you want to lose weight or maintain your weight, it's carbs, period. We all know that. It's bad carbs specifically. Mm-hmm. You got to cut your carbs. The purpose of your exercise is to get your heart rate up, break a sweat, and feel better. So my exercise is not as hardcore as it used to be. I was doing triathlons and kept hurting myself and trying to drink beer and eat pizza and eat after my kids and do triathlons. I'll just slam some Monster and work out twice as hard. Well, I kept hurting myself. It seems kind of obvious
the
when you look back.
The muscles will outlast the joints and and everything else.
I got tendonitis in my ankle. It lasted a year and a half. I mean, a year and a half. I didn't even do anything.
No, tendonitis is fucked
up. It's horrible.
That's a really, really bad one. It just doesn't go away.
Exactly. And so my exercise is the cardio. So what I do is I do like 5 minutes of some cardio, get my heart rate up, and then I stretch. And I stretch my calves, I stretch my hamstrings, I stretch my piriformis, my hips. One of the keys with the back is you want to keep your hips flexible, because if your hips are tight, it'll put more stress on the back.
Uh-huh.
So you keep your hips flexible and then tighten and then get your core strong.
I do hip flexor stretches every single day.
Exactly.
That's actually from the driving affects my hip flexors by far the most.
Yep.
And that, like, especially if it's a little uneven combined with the seat or combined with manual transmission.
Right.
You get an unevenness, which causes the side-to-side deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's done.
So we have some stretches on our app, that Back Doctor app, which is free. Download it. There's some stretches on there. We don't have pictures. I need to do a second version, make some videos of the stretches. All the videos are of the exercise, the core exercises. But the stretches are pretty basic. Stretch your piriformis, stretch your hips, stretch your hip flexors. Keep your hips loose so it puts less stress on the back. And so I warm up, then do the stretching, and then do my cardio for 30 minutes. Then I do my core stabilization. And the other simple stretch is when I operate, my back can tighten up. So people see me laying on the floor of the surgeon's lounge, simply taking your leg and putting it over your, twisting over.
The side to side.
Great. You know, it helps relax things. Or doing the yoga pose where you pull your knees up to your to your chest, where you're kind of stretching your back out. That's another good one. The best exercise I actually like, it's called a standing dead bug. On our app, it's under the neck program. The neck exercise is the standing dead bug. You do it up against a wall. And the greatest thing is you don't need weights. You don't need a green ball. You don't have to lay on the ground.
Is it this guy here?
Is that
the graphic? Does that look right?
No.
Dead bug? No?
That's the laying dead bug. Oh. I like the standing dead bug.
Okay, hang on. Standing. I'm looking for a graphic, but struggling.
I know. I made it up.
Oh, you made it up?
I just made up the name.
Is it that guy?
Michael. That guy up against the wall is pretty close.
This
that's
guy
pretty
here?
Close.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
that's pretty close. This guy's doing it. All right.
Yeah, yeah. that's pretty close. He's up against a wall. He's tightening his core. He's moving his arms. I don't pick my legs up. I keep my legs on it. But that's basically it.
Oh, so this guy's standing against the wall. His arms are kind of straight out slash up a little bit. And he's got one knee lifted up. And he's holding like a little kettlebell with his toe with that knee that's lifted.
So it's called a dead bug or a dying bug. Because when bugs are on their back, they're moving their arms and legs like they're dying, right?
Yeah.
And so you do that on the ground is the number one exercise. But the great thing I love about this one, you do it up against a wall, so you can do it throughout the day. So anybody with a sitting job, or if you're driving a car, every hour, pull over, knock out 10 of them, 10, 20 reps. It takes you a minute.
You can lean up against that 55-mile-an-hour sign. Good news, it also looks sexy. You can do a photo shoot while you're doing it.
Boom. And the great thing about it is it wakes the muscles up. So it gets the muscles woken up. It gets the blood flowing to the muscles, and you can do it throughout the day. Because the worst mistake a lot of people make is they do their exercises 3 days a week, and then the other 10 hours a day, they're sitting around doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's better if you can do something throughout the day to wake the muscles up continually throughout the day, because it also reminds you when you're sitting to sit with better posture. So if you're doing your exercise throughout the day, you're more likely to do those verbal cues and sit up straight. Here I am, slumped over as I'm talking.
No, you know what? I'm doing it too. Our new studio we're building, we're going to be in there in 2 months. We got these new cool chairs that Joe Rogan has called the Capisco chairs, which are like perfect posture.
Nice.
Like podcasting chairs.
Right.
We're getting them, I swear. We got new chairs coming.
This is a good chair. It's probably a pretty good sport. And one of the big things is the variety. You know, so sit, adjustable desk where you can stand.
Oh, yeah. What's your stance on like standing desk versus like sitting on a ball? I've seen that move, the sit on the exercise ball.
Ideal situation is have variety. The human body does not like stagnation. And part of it is you got to picture what should we be like in nature. If we were out walking the plains and hunting animals and picking berries and stuff like that, we are moving on a pretty consistent basis. Every once in a while, we take a nap, you know, like cats and dogs and animals, right? They take 2 to 3 naps a day. Yeah. We should take a 15 to 20 minute break a day and take a breather and let our mind go. But also you want to move on a continual basis, not get stuck in one position. So with your work, if it's a standing adjustable desk where you can change it up, if you have a ball that you can use a ball, but you can't sit on a ball for too long because you have to fire your muscles so much that generally they're going to fatigue and you're going to get tired. So the key is the variety. If somehow,
does that count as doing core if you sit on a ball?
It does. They're firing. No, you got to fire your muscles to balance on the ball.
I want to try that one.
Try
it. Maybe I'll bring a ball over here for next podcast.
Exactly. But usually after like 15 to 20 minutes, you're starting to get tired. And then you're going to slump over and do bad things. And so not many people can last 8 hours.
Yeah, the trade-off is posture, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's a good one, though. I think that I'm going to do the dead bug. Let's see. Trent says, advice for competitive gymnasts / martial artists. I want to save my knees and I don't want to live on glucosamine.
Well, I mean, honestly, glucosamine is so benign. I would take glucosamine and take it or don't take it. It's never been shown to make a difference. See, part of the thing about supplements like stem cell injections, glucosamine, all these supplements people take, it assumes your body does not have enough of that product in it as much as it needs.
But if it does,
I think you don't need it. See, I think that is a false assumption that our body does not have what it needs to take care of itself right now. So if
I took some supplements once in conjunction with workout, and I took them from a reputable place.
Yep.
And I did see results. I did feel good. I did lose more weight than I would have. I did have positive results.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And there's a gray zone there where are you still taking them?
You know what? I stopped, but I have no good reason for stopping. So, I literally like ran out, didn't order them. Literally, that's how dumb I am.
So I'll tell you, exactly. It worked great, and I stopped doing it for no reason.
I swear, Hanny, I'm sorry. Hanny
I just
Rambod,
got bored. I forgot.
I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah. So you make a good point, and I'll say a couple things. Now I'm not saying I don't do any supplements. I drink caffeine, and I drink a shot of caffeine before I exercise. I probably drink like half a cup of coffee or some, you know, a double shot espresso with Starbucks.
Yeah.
I take a big gulp before I exercise because the caffeine gets my energy going enough where I get a better workout.
Yeah.
It like gets me over the hump.
We got to get
faster.
You off Starbucks, but I feel you on that.
Yeah, exactly.
And
whatever, any caffeine, I'm not picky. Whatever's there, I drink it. But my point about that is, so that's a supplement. Caffeine's a supplement. So do I do supplements? Yeah, I drink some caffeine. But I don't take any multivitamins. I don't take anything. I do a paleo food delivery service because I eat more fruits and vegetables because they're prepared and they just show up every night in a bag and I eat it. And it costs like $30 a day
yeah.
for breakfast, lunch, and two snacks. And I don't eat
it's
anything
good. Is
else.
The food good?
It's good.
You like it?
Totally yeah. edible. Totally doable.
Totally edible.
It's not fantastic,
I
but
love
it's totally
food.
Doable.
I can't do a totally edible. I need to do delicious.
Dinner, you can do delicious.
I need to do delicious.
Every meal, delicious?
No. But dinner. I had a shake for lunch. I'm okay. Yeah, I made an oat milk and banana and peanut butter smoothie for lunch.
That
I'm okay.
Yummy.
I'm okay. That was my healthy meal today.
So for me, the great thing about the delivery services, I don't have to think.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It shows up. I eat it. I don't snack. I don't question it. It's just like I eat whatever they give me, and it's good enough that it's totally doable.
I'm okay with you focused on the task at hand and yeah. not thinking about dinner
yeah,
while you've got like four blades in me
yeah,
and you've
exactly.
got a microscope going,
exactly.
huh, what am I going to make when I get home?
And then at dinner is a free-for-all. And so I don't lose weight because at dinner I kind of eat whatever I want. It's not crazy, but I'll eat pizza
yeah, yeah.
or whatever my kids have. But anyway, so that keeps me sane. So I'm not too strict. I'm not too regimented.
Wait, I got to get back to the guy's question.
Yeah, yeah,
for martial artists and gymnasts, what can they do to...
Yeah,
because that's
off
particularly...
On
that's okay. Particularly abusive for the body,
well, let
body,
me finish
right?
with the supplements.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Because, and you're right. I forgot what I was talking about. So as far as supplements go, glucosamine, I don't think it makes any difference. And no study has been shown that it makes a significant difference because your body has enough glucosamine in it for what it needs.
Okay.
So if glucosamine helps him, whether that's a placebo effect or maybe his body chemistry needs a little extra glucosamine.
Are there some people who need extra
maybe,
glucosamine?
Maybe, but that's not proven.
Okay.
But maybe. But my point is, if that is enough to help him, I would take it
okay.
because it's totally benign. Whatever part of that glucosamine his body doesn't need, it just pees out.
Mm.
It's not hurting.
Is that orange pee? Is that what we're doing?
Exactly. It smells good. And
That did happen with the supplements.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
I know it's working because my piss is a totally unnatural color.
I'm going to veer off one more thing
yeah.
about when you talk about HGH and more significant supplements
yeah.
because I see a lot of that in LA and not really with the athletes. It's more just with people, actors, actresses in Hollywood, and even just the LA lifestyle.
Instagram gym rats
Thank
is
you.
What I would call them.
Exactly, exactly.
And that includes like at a minimum three friends of mine.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now, so
non-competitive athletes.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. But they look good.
Yeah.
So my take on that is basically, I don't think you should do it. Because, and the number one question is, when are you going to stop? Like you mentioned, mm-hmm. you took supplements, you felt better, and you were working on and you grew. But
and
it's
then
like
I forgot.
But for me, if you introduce an exogenous, an artificial source of human growth hormone or testosterone or stuff like that, well, when is it going to be okay to not take it and to be tired and be a little fat?
Yeah.
Like if you're 40 and you start taking it because you don't have the energy of a 20-year-old and you want to feel vibrant and strong and powerful again. Well, when you're 60, are you not going to care anymore and then it's going to be okay?
Can you take it indefinitely?
Well, probably not. You probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
And
do you actually become the Hulk if you do that shit? Like, is it?
What I have seen, which is not scientific evidence, but in my experience, is more wear and tear and degeneration of the disc and the joints because they're not being healed.
Mm-hmm.
You're working the muscles too hard and it's overstressing the joints.
Got it. Yeah. So the muscle isn't going to like explode, you know, and your brain probably won't turn to mush, but you will overpower other things that the HGH doesn't affect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's out of balance.
Got it. Yeah.
Right? Your body's working in a balance. As you get older, the muscles are aging, the joints are aging.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of growth hormone and testosterone your body is producing is appropriate for your age and your body condition, and you're hypercharging it with this stuff that's out of balance. But the part of that's my philosophy in life. I believe the human body is in this state of checks and balance and homeostasis because that's what we learned in medical school 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I still believe in that. And most doctors who are MDs do still believe in that. So the doctors I talk to who deal with a lot of athletes, and I ask them, would you take HGH and stuff like that? What do you think? They say no, because they also kind of believe in this checks and balance and that, you know, if too much of one thing for your body that's not ready for that, it just can hurt.
Do you feel the same way about stuff? Like, I got very concerned when, like, I got put on Crestor. Now, like, my dad is on Crestor. My grandfather, like, it's like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? We've tried. We are naturally. We didn't. This is cholesterol medication. You
right.
know, whatever.
Right.
But I was really worried that,
sure.
like, I was going to be on this shit forever.
Right. But so I have
this,
the same.
Do you feel the same
I
way
have,
about
I
that?
I have this. No, I don't, because that's a state of pathology.
Oh,
your
right.
body has gotten to a state of pathology to where it's unhealthy, and we know that can lead to heart disease and death and other things. And the
okay.
medication has scientifically been proven to benefit people and life expectancy and quality of life more than the risks, because that's what the studies show.
Right.
And so that's pathology versus optimization.
Okay. Well, that goes back to surgery for athletes for the point of doing the athletic thing. At what point did that flip flop and become okay?
When people started making $5 to $10 million to play a sport.
So what, like '80s? The
80s? Yeah, in the 80s. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so,
and part of that is also my job as a surgeon is also to provide an informed consent to tell you the risks and benefits and prognosis. It's your life.
Right.
Ultimately, you get to decide.
Yeah.
And if I think it's reasonable to do the surgery because the risks are low enough and I think it'll help you enough, I'll go along. I'm not going to go along with everything you want to do. But if I think it's in concordance with what I think is right for you and reasonable to do, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's your choice. If you say, look, I understand the situation and I have an opportunity to make a lot of money in my 25-year-old, my career life expectancy is 3 to 5 years, and I can make a lot of money and I may be taken care of with my whole family for the rest of my life. And
that's
the,
a crazy situation, isn't it? The right. pressure of that.
Right. It's huge. And so now if I think it's too risky, if I think they're at real risk of permanent injury, then a lot of times we'll tell them, you shouldn't do this. And we don't give them an option. We say, look, this is you shouldn't do this. You need to retire or whatever it is. But if it's in that gray zone,
yeah,
and the person understands what's going on and they're willing to accept the risk and they say, look, I understand all that. I'm willing to take a 1% to 5% risk for an 80% chance that I'll go back and do what I do.
Yeah.
Do my job and make money and what, you know, what is part of my identity.
No, they want to play. No, you know, nobody
no
wants
question.
To retire, you know, like
that's
that.
That's one of the biggest misperceptions that came out from some movies. I forgot what that movie was about the football team like 10, 20 years ago, is that the athletes get pressured into playing.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That might have been more like North Dallas 40, you
maybe,
know, that,
yeah.
you know, like and shoot them up and get them on the field. Like, the athletes I treat and the management and the teams and the agents, 98% of the time, everybody's on the same page. They want what's safe.
I just watched that Aaron Hernandez
I haven't
one.
Seen it.
There's a lot of hearsay in it. Obviously, Aaron Hernandez had a whole mess of issues.
Yeah.
You know, and there's people who say a bunch of things in this documentary, but there was an implication that he was not forced, but he and others were strongly encouraged to play hurt,
right?
For several professional teams, I think the Patriots
it's an interesting
is the one
question.
They talked about,
and it's an interesting question. So
and they gave him whatever the injection is,
Toradol, or
that was
but
it.
Toradol
yeah,
is an anti-inflammatory. I mean, Toradol is not like morphine where you're zonked out of your head and you're not going to feel the pain.
Fair.
It's just an anti-inflammatory. So if you have a structural functional problem, Toradol is not going to mask it enough to go hurt yourself. It's like taking a mega dose of Advil.
Cortisone shots might, I suppose.
A little bit more, but still, you know, if something really is pathologic and hurting you, it's going to hurt and you're not going to be able to play. So what I was saying is, in my experience, an overwhelming 96, 98% of the time, everybody's on the same page because the teams have an investment in the player. They want him to get better or her to get better for the short term and long term. And they don't want anybody going out on the field and getting hurt and breaking down and having a career injury. You know, nobody wants that. It's bad for the sport, bad for them. And so what I see is most people are on the same page. And the athletes want to play. And so this whole idea of somebody being forced to play and forced to, that you see in the movies, I rarely encounter that. I'm a little bit removed to the degree that I'm the spine consultant. Mm-hmm.
If they've made it to you, there's probably a bigger issue.
It is. Yeah. And everybody's really on the same page, which has been making my job so much easier.
Yeah.
It's not kind of what you see in the stories and in the movies and stuff like that, because that has more drama to act like everybody's. And as far as forcing people to play, and I haven't seen that, but as far as.
I don't know if I should use the word force, by the way, about the Aaron Hernandez, but you know what I mean.
Pressured
into it.
Now, the pressure, I mean. I pressure my kid to play. to some degree. Mm-hmm. You know, like my kid kind of has this injury and he's kind of moping around. And, you know, I'm like, well, do you think he can play? I'll tell you one quick story. I used to coach my kids' flag football teams. And my kid really is a baller. He's out there fighting hard and he goes down and I think he's fine. Like he just went down. And so I would have to go out on the field. And my initial thinking is, he's fine. Let's get up, see if he can play. I would have to act like I was overly concerned and stand there for a while so the other parents didn't think I was too much of a hard ass.
Oh, my.
And so I'd literally have to pause.
He is okay, right?
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah, he's fine. Like, I knew he was fine. Yeah, just as a doctor, it's like, this kid didn't break his leg. Like,
you know,
walk it off. If you can walk, you can probably play. You'll be fine. And that's true 99% of the time. Kids go 99% of the kids go down in like a JV league soccer thing. They're not hurt.
Right, it's just
like a little bump. You know, they bump knees or whatever. And once they can walk, they can play. And so my point is, I would have to like restrain myself and go, okay, let's act concerned. Let's act like this is a big deal. And should we get out the ice pack, you know, and drag him off the field and give him, let him recover. When in reality, usually he's fine.
Yeah.
And my point about that is just this pressure to play. Well, we put it on ourselves and the athletes put it on themselves and everything, 'cause that's what they want to do. And also most high level athletes don't feel pain like the rest of us do. The biggest thing I see about treating hockey players and football players and different athletes is they're ready to play. Like, they don't feel pain the same way we do. 50% of what screens people from going on to the next level of sports is injuries. Hmm. So the people who go on to professional sports don't have injuries, don't feel pain as bad as
like
the rest of us do.
Like, they didn't get hurt in college or whatever,
like,
kind of thing?
No, I mean, they got hurt. Their body recovered, healed, they had less pain, and they played through it because their body was able to. It's kind of like the Kobe Bryant, you know, rest in peace, obviously. But the Kobe Bryant factor was Kobe played through injuries and was driven, whether he felt less pain or he was just so focused with his Mamba mentality to power through it. It's probably a bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able, I mean, look, he tore his Achilles tendon and still shot 2 free throws afterwards.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's
pretty crazy.
Gnarly. Yeah, that's very gnarly.
You and I would have been dragged off the court.
It'd be very bad.
And so my point about that is athletes have a higher pain tolerance, and specifically football players, in my experience, they just don't feel pain like the rest of us. They have a higher pain tolerance.
I saw a documentary about these guys who power lift, and it's like every 7 years the cells regenerate, and so the guy who's been powerlifting for 25 years versus the guy who's only been powerlifting for 6 or 7 years, even if the younger one is bigger, the kind of old man strength of it, and where all the cells are optimized for this, and he sort of wipes the floor with the younger guy.
That's an interesting one. Whether he has, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
My speculation would be, one, maybe it's his technique.
Uh-huh.
He's been through so much. Number two is because he's lasted so long, he may be have a higher pain tolerance and be better equipped to handle the injuries. Number two is it may just be that he's built up that density of muscle strength. And we know, like you said, old man strength, there's no question that as you get older, you are stronger in some way, even though the younger kid looks bigger.
Yeah.
I hope that lasts with my kids, that I can still dominate them.
When you operate on athletes, because you also obviously operate on normal folks, are you like, do you see things in about their bodies where you're like, oh, this is why you're capable of that?
Yeah, I see some really cool things in that, especially once the person's asleep and we go to position them. You see different anatomies and different shapes. One of the big things you'll see is a really big guy. Like, we've taken care of some big names. I won't mention them, but, you know, like all-pro defensive ends.
Like enormous
and
football.
And tight ends and all-pro, where you realize these guys are big, they're ripped, they're stacked, and they're also proportional. You're like, this is like a normal body, just it's twice just, as big.
Yeah.
And other guys who have like really big shoulders and skinny waist and these different body types that you kind of go, yeah, that is wild. And this probably was what contributed to them having this ability to do it. And the defensive backs in football are another big one too, where those guys are, you know, they're like 5'8", 5'10", and just power packed. Like, their body is just rock hard. Every part of their body, not an ounce of muscle, just like a pure
fat,
built machine.
Fat.
Yeah.
You said not an ounce of muscle.
No, I'm sorry. You're not an ounce. of fat. Yeah. Thank you. It's like pure muscle, just yeah. nothing, but every part of their body just serves this function of pure speed and agility. And the defensive backs are actually some of the most impressive. Like, how does a 5'10 guy who, you know, weighs a 180 play in the NFL? You
know, that's, like, that's true. Yeah,
they bring down Derrick Henry. running on full speed. They bring him down, or they're supposed to, and the way their bodies are power packed is pretty impressive.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I bet that's cool. If you're into, you know, anatomy and stuff, that's probably like the Super Bowl of doing that.
Right. Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Anonymity. This guy from Japan wanted to know if I liked the Japanese car magazine he sent me.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong button. And yes, I do. It's right here. Thank you. I don't even, he says, do I want more? I'm good, because it's Japanese. There's only so much I can read, but the pictures are great. What can you leave us
with?
Did
we answer that guy's question about glucosamine? So basically,
for competitive gymnasts and martial artists?
Get your core strong. Oh. Get our app, download the app, and check out my podcast. My favorite podcast I did. It's called Dr. Robert Watkins is my podcast. And my favorite podcast is called Avoid Pain, a Preventative Program. I made it 15 minutes, super concise. Here's everything I do. Here's everything you can do to have less pain. And it talks about what exercises you can do that are in the app. Everything I talk about is in the app. So it's kind of the combination of those two things. Keep your core strong, and then you should be able to do everything.
Oh, there it is. Okay. The Back Doctor on iTunes, right?
Yep.
Is that it? Okay,
yep.
Got it. I was just fine. You gotta get move it further up your website, bro.
Yeah.
It's too far down the website. I couldn't dig it out in time. Get that. The Back Doctor podcast.
Yeah.
And look at that headshot.
Hey, man.
Looking good.
I'm picking it up.
Looking good, for sure. So if people are like, you know, kind of on the edge, like, if you have no choice, what are the mandatories for driving all the time? Every hour, get out and do your dead bug stretch?
Yep.
That's the mandatory?
Yep, standing dead bug.
Yeah.
Every hour, stand up, knock out 10 to 20 of them. I'd get a massage once a week. Or find some type of device like the Theragun.
Oh, dude, that's really the game changer, right?
Yeah. The Theragun's great. They use a lot of those in the NFL, and in every locker room and every sport has a Theragun.
There's
now.
So many. Yeah, well, and there's so many like copyright infringement Chinese knockoff ones too.
Exactly.
You can get anyone. What are your thoughts on inversion tables?
They're all right. Yeah. I'm not a big believer. I have a Saragym massage bed that I have at home, that basically you lay flat on it and it has these two balls that go up your back that kind of hyperextend your back and work the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I love about it is you can take like a 15 to 30 minute nap. I can listen to like a meditation or a relaxation
download.
We're
talking, yeah.
So you can do two for one. You can get a little nap in and get your back worked, and it's once you buy it, it's free. I mean, I'll do that almost every day after doing surgery. I use that Saragym massage bed. I like it because it's relaxing. You can have it. Now, traction or the hanging upside down is okay. It's reasonable if you have one at home. But how long can you hang upside down before the blood goes to your head?
Not that long.
So this bed, you lay flat.
Yeah.
You tolerate
it. I had an inversion table. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
And I go to I'm blanking on the doctor's name right now. It's called ISI, International Sports Science Institute. And this guy invented, it's an inversion device.
Yeah.
Where you go over the front of it instead of leaning down backwards.
Leroy Perry. Yeah,
Dr. Leroy Perry.
Yeah,
I know
Dr. Perry. Yeah. I like Perry. I think he's got good science. He's got good basis.
I use it when I'm over there.
Yeah,
it's
all
right.
Yeah.
I stretch out on it.
Yeah.
That's his device.
Yeah, it seems reasonable.
Yeah.
It's safe, stretches you out.
Yeah. Dr. Perry's gym is hilarious. I work out there with my trainer sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because they've got the benefactors on the wall.
Yeah.
And it's like Sharon Stone, Liz Taylor, Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all these super OGs. Like
totally.
Half of them are dead. It's like it's real OG.
Exactly.
But he invented that thing, I guess.
He did, and I like the concept. You know, it does take some stress away, but when you go back to normal life, gravity still exists. You basically go back to where you were.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And basically, it's get the muscle strong. And, you know, what can you do throughout the day? But so I equate inversion table, decompressive machine, acupuncture, massage, cortisone, epidural, facet injections in your back, stem cell injections, PRP. All that stuff is the same. It's to decrease some muscle tension and give your body a break. So whatever you do that's reasonable and safe and doesn't cost you too much to get a break, to relax the muscles, is good. Then reinforce better muscle firing. And that's where you got to do the exercises.
Yeah.
And so it's that combination. Relax the muscle tension and then reinforce better muscle firing by doing the exercises.
I had PRP on one of my elbows. It was not bad. It worked.
Yeah.
It's a long tail.
Tennis elbow?
Yeah.
Lateral elbow. So PRP, from what I've gathered from the sports guys that take care of the teams with me, I'm asking this regularly. PRP works for elbows and knees.
That's what I was told as well.
One of them is white blood cell rich and one is poor. And one works for the elbow and one works for the knee. It's the exact opposite.
That's funny.
And I forgot which one it was. But it shows you the diversity and the infancy of this field. Mm-hmm. We don't know which combination of what works for what body part. And it probably varies in each person.
It probably does. Yeah. I had PRP in my left elbow, and then I had EPAT in my right elbow, which is the electro... It's like ultrasound combined with electroshock stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Worked.
Yeah, there you
go. Cheaper than PRP, and it worked.
All right.
Totally. It was good.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming down, Dr.
Yeah,
Watkins.
Man.
I appreciate it.
Me.
Get the Back Doctor podcast. That's going to be the thing you can do the most virtually, or the app, which is available. Just Watkins Spine? Is that where it is? Hang on.
If you go to the app store, it's called Back Doctor.
If you go to WatkinsSpine.com, everything is there.
Perfect.
And if you already have a fucked back, just call him up and book an appointment, because he fixed me up and I kept driving against your advice.
Yeah.
And
here
I,
you are.
Yeah, I know.
I'll say one other thing. My email actually is robertwatkinsmd@yahoo.com.
All right.
If you guys have any questions, feel free to email me anytime.
Yeah, you're a beast, and you're in Marina Del Rey here in California, and it's you did a good job, because I haven't needed you until I asked you to come on this show.
I love it.
And you had to cut through my tattoo, and you even lined it back up, which is good. Which I was like, did he fuck it up? Yeah. No. Yes.
Sometimes we close our eyes and get lucky.
Yes. It was excellent. That's all.
Nice.
That is us. Do we have anything left on the thing? No. Light on the questions today. That's cool. Oh, last one before we get out of here. Thoughts on the foam roller?
It's good, because the thing that I love about that, you can get one, it's cheap, you can have it at home and do it on a regular basis, and it helps stretch things out.
Yeah.
So it's reasonable.
I have a foam roller. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
I also, way underrated, tennis ball and a sock.
Oh, yeah.
Tennis ball and a sock, or two tennis balls tied with a knot in between.
Perfect.
That's the jam right there.
You know that bed?
All about that.
That bed I was telling you about?
Yeah.
It's basically two tennis balls and a sock.
Motorized.
So great, exactly.
That's pimp. I like that.
It is cool, because you can move it up to your spot, keep it there, and it'll go automatic. But, yeah.
And also, people, find a really good sports medicine massage guy or girl.
Totally.
I mean, not a resort massage therapist.
No.
A person that fixes shit.
Exactly.
A person that will spend an hour on just one part of you.
Yeah.
And if you find a person like that, never, ever lose their phone number.
Exactly.
I got one of those people, and I'm like, here's the problem, and at the end of the hour, it's fixed.
Yeah.
It's great.
They're worth their weight in gold. You know, just the idea that another human can release that tension in your body and help you is so awesome.
And the difference between a resort massage and a proper sports massage should not be fun.
No, you're right.
It really hurt.
And I've gotten so snooty about it. When we go to resorts, I don't get massages because I'm so picky, and it's a waste of money and time. I've got two people I use at home.
You should. You shouldn't. I mean, if you want to relax and smell the scented candles or whatever, go for it.
Right.
But in general, no. Get a recommendation from a doctor.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Thanks, Doc.
Cool.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
you the Smoking Tire Podcast is, as always, powered by Shout Engine. Get your own podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone, a connection to the internet, and ideally, something to say. Get the app for Dr. Watkins at watkinsspine.com. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you later.